Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Okay, well, again, good morning and welcome. Praise God. Just, receive that word this morning. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. It's a wonderful truth, you know, to think that God has chosen to deal with man that way, to make these promises and for us to just believe them, you know, to reach out and grab onto those promises of God in the face of life, the face of circumstances, backstory, history, whatever, and to just reach up and trust in the promises and the goodness of God. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture which is actually talking about Jesus about 7 years before he actually came on the earth, and it's describing him in the way he would be perceived. Isaiah 53:3 says he was despised, talking about Jesus. In the future here, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. The Message says he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him. We thought he was scum. That's the Message paraphrase. What is this talking about? This is talking about some messianic prophecy about Jesus who was to come. And it was talking about how Jesus, the Savior, the suffering servant who is going to redeem mankind, would experience this. He would experience that rejection. He would experience this grief. He would experience people just absolutely detesting him. And it's pretty ironic. You think this is God in the flesh. This is the perfect human being. But he was going to experience something that we all experience. And that is rejection, that pain of rejection. When I think of just my life, and you think of different kinds of pains that you can experience, physical pain, emotional pain, different things like that, probably one of the worst pains that you and I experience or feel is this one right here, that pain of rejection, that pain of, well, what it is, the Message is pretty graphic. We looked down on him, we thought he was scum. When people reject you, they reject who you are, they reject where you're coming from, maybe they belittle you, and they, you know, don't take you seriously, and there's not an acceptance, there's not a love. And you sense that rejection. I think of all the things that, as a parent, I'd want to shelter my kids from. Think of the stuff that's out there in terms of language, violence, videos, movies. I would say one of the things that you, if you would just could protect your child from one thing, would be probably from this pain right here. Rejection is probably one of the most, one of the most painful things that you can experience, because it is something that is so on the inside and many times is so private, you know, that it's not known by people. It's a very personal struggle that you can experience and deal with. And I think today too, especially in the age of social media, you know, we've always had the acceptance, rejection, different that. This paradigm has been around forever. But now when we live in such a socially connected age, where you can look on your phone, you know, whatever that forum is, the Facebook, the Instagram, whatever it is, and you can see likes and things, you know, and it's not even a matter sometimes of you know, somebody saying something wrong. You could feel rejected because you didn't get a like or something like that, you know. You can get so connected in this world of approval and needing acceptance and feeling rejection that it is just a glance away. And especially now, especially in this day and age of technology and social connection, I really want to minister this morning along the lines of just simply calling it dealing with rejection. Dealing with rejection. You're going to have it to deal with. If you're alive and breathing, I can tell you, you already have experienced rejection. You already know what this is like. And I wish I could tell you that you could pray a prayer and you'll never deal with rejection again. You could do some little thing and you could never deal with rejection again. That's not the case. Living in this world, fallen planet, human flesh, your selfishness, my selfishness, different things like that, this is something we have to deal with. All right? And so this morning, I just really want to talk about dealing with rejection. And there's just some important things that we have to keep, just keep a perspective on to help us get the big picture again. Because when you get into rejection and the weeds and the nuances of it, it can be a dark, scary, painful place. And you can lose sense of what's up and down and different things like that. The purpose of this message this morning is not to exhaustively deal with the topic of rejection or even everything about working through it. The Holy Spirit is going to show you stuff that will be outside of what I'm preaching. He'll take what I'm saying and make it real to you, I believe, in ways that I wouldn't even know. But I'm going to cover some kind of high-level things that no matter what the context of the rejection is you're dealing with this morning, it's going to help bring it into a broader perspective, almost kind of like the jet flying the 30,000-foot flyover. You know, my goal this morning is that whatever it is that you're dealing with, you're going to be able to come up and see it from the 30,000-foot level, see it from God's perspective. And then from that place, God is going to begin to show you some specifics. He's going to begin to show you some things that you can do and say, but kind of first things first, we need to get some basics down regarding rejection. Things that are true across all of our stories, across all of our backstories or whatever it is. There are some things that are consistently true. And so that's what we're going to get in on this morning. We're just going to look at, again, some almost kind of some points of reference that's going to help us as we're dealing with rejection. First point of reference is this. We kind of alluded to it in the opening scripture, but Jesus understands rejection. In other words, this is something that Jesus can actually, realistically, emotionally, mentally empathize with. He knows what this is like. As we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season here, one of the stories we don't always lift up as much, but is a very big part of what happened around this time. In Matthew chapter 2, we see, "Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream." Now, who departed? That would be the wise men, the magi, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." Here we see a rejection, Jesus experiencing a rejection at this point when he's just a little small child. All right? Here's an example of rejection of somebody who doesn't even know you. He doesn't even really know you. Who just feels threatened by you. Okay? Maybe you're of a demographic that reminds somebody of somebody who hurt them, and so you can feel something. You can feel tensions and different things like that. You can experience rejection based on just who you are and without any relationship. There's different kinds. Not only did Jesus experience a rejection here from Herod, it was such a vicious rejection, he was out to kill him, out to destroy his life. This is hideous. Of course, in the Christmas story, we know that there was no room for Jesus in the inn. He was rejected in the inn. He's somebody who can empathize with rejection in a way that is really kind of goes back to before people even knew him. And so what are we wanting to just kind of establish first of all here? Jesus understands rejection. He understands rejection on levels that that really spanned the spectrum of rejection, okay? Not only was it experiencing rejection from people that he didn't know, but we see another case when he had come to his own country. He taught them, this is Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. Okay? Here's another case of rejection. Again, we're just kind of laying some points of reference groundwork. There can be the rejection where people absolutely do know you. They don't know you for whatever reason. They don't like you. All right? There are people who do know you. A lot of times there are people that are familiar with you, close to you, and they can reject you as well, too. You experience rejection on this level. You know, one of the characteristics when it comes to dealing with rejection, let's see here. There is a some attributes when you're experiencing rejection. You'll feel yourself getting a critical spirit. You'll feel inferior. You'll feel a need for perfectionism. What does that mean? You're trying to do everything just right so that you won't feel that pain of rejection again. Trying to dot every I and cross every T. Kind of interesting when you think of it right here. Here's Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He is perfect. He never sinned. He never missed it. And he is rejected. So in some ways, that has to kind of put our perfectionism at ease a little bit. Even if you could achieve perfection, you would still get rejected. Jesus put it this way. He said, you know, no student is greater than his teacher. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. So one of the things, again, I'm just kind of laying some groundwork here. There is rejection by people who don't know you that'll happen. There is going to be rejection by people who do know you, and it's not even based on your being perfect. There is just there's just things, you know, and there can be envy, you know, things that are involved, things that people don't like. They see in you, they maybe judge you wrong. The other thing that you got to keep in mind too is that if it was just a matter of people in this world, that would be one thing. But we also know that there's an accuser of the brethren in the world too. That there is a demonic realm, that there are powers and principalities, that there are unseen forces at work that accuse and attack. And so those are things that we have to deal with too. But here we see Jesus, he goes to his hometown. And they don't get him. They don't appreciate him. And again, he's God in the flesh. He's done all these things. He's still rejected. Okay, so what are we seeing there? We're seeing that perfectionism doesn't work. I'm gonna hold off. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The next thing, here we go. We see in Mark chapter 15, this is when he's dying on the cross, those who passed by and blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." So here's where Jesus is dying for these people. He's dying for their sins, dying for everything they did wrong. They don't get him. They don't understand it. They don't understand him. And so what is this he's experiencing? Now, if you can imagine, as we're kind of going through this, where faith meets real life, could you imagine if you had to move out of the neighborhood because somebody was going to kill you, somebody didn't like you? Jesus had to grow up part of his life in Egypt because somebody didn't like him. This is not convenient. We're going to move tonight because somebody doesn't like you. Wow. That was real life for Jesus. He comes back home to the family reunion or whatever it is, his family friends don't like him, don't accept him, don't care. We're critical of everything that he says, everything that he does. He's dying. He's laying down his life. "I'll come down from the cross." What does this tell me now? What does this tell Ed House in 2018? Whatever I'm dealing with as far as rejection or people not getting me or people not wanting to get me, and experiencing that pain, experiencing that, Jesus understands it. That's just the whole point of this. Jesus understands rejection. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. What does that mean? God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says so that in all things he could be made like his brethren, so that he could be a merciful and faithful, sympathetic high priest. So one of the things that I know, kind of just a point of reference about rejection, things that I'm going through, Jesus gets it. Not just in a theological, ethereal way, but he actually came down and experienced this. You know, there's a lot of years that are silenced too. When in those 18 years from when he was 12 to 30, he grew up in that family. We knew something. We know he had some brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, sisters. I mean, could you imagine that? Growing up in a family and you're the Son of God. And it's one thing, you know, maybe for your parents to know that, but for your siblings to get that, know that, see that. There's probably some backstories, you know, that are silent. They're silent in the Scripture. We don't know. We know Jesus never missed it. We know he never failed. But he experienced that. He experienced playing with football with Simon in the backyard. And, you know, him saying something or maybe being snarky or something like that. He understands. He's experienced our human condition in every point. So when we thank Jesus, we got to kind of remember the empathy that he has for us. He really does get our life, our condition, what we've gone through. So no matter what it is, no matter what my backstory is, your backstory is, Jesus has a backstory when he came to this earth and experienced the human conditions. And one of the reasons he experienced it was to be able to be a sympathetic, understanding, merciful high priest. You got situations, you got people who don't know you, who don't like you, you got family relation issues, you got friendship issues, you got social media issues, whatever that is, Jesus knows. Jesus gets it. You're not alone. I guess the heart is really this first point. It's just empathy. Rejection makes you feel isolated and alone. Nobody gets it. Nobody understands. Jesus gets it. Jesus understands. That's just the first frame of reference. He knows what it's like to carry this kind of stuff. So, number one, Jesus understands rejection. Point number two, again, this is kind of high level. Man's rejections are not God's rejections, okay? This is the other kind of important clarifying thought. Rejection hurts. Rejection's painful. I can't speak a sermon that is going to just zap away the pain and the feelings of rejection. Wish I could. But there is a truth, and there is a love, and there is a grace of God, and there is a power of God that does, can, and will heal the pain of rejection. He's alive, and he's alive for us today. He's alive to walk with us today, not only to identify, but he wants to clarify too, that when you're experiencing people rejecting you, you're not experiencing God's rejection, okay? Here's what the Scripture tells us in Ephesians. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. What does that talk about? He's just made us his own children. He made us righteous. He made us new creations in Christ Jesus to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In other words, God did not send Jesus to die on that cross, be raised again from the dead, make us brand new, put the Holy Spirit in us so he could reject us. Not at all. He did all that as evidence to prove that he accepts us, that he loves us. I love Paul in Romans puts it this way. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Wow. So we're seeing again here just the fact that man's rejections are not God's rejections. Just because somebody tears you down and really genuinely hurts you emotionally, that's not God. And you might think, well, of course I know that. But, and we've all been there, it's not always as easy to make that distinction as you might think. It's easy to make it theologically and get it right on a test. But when you're experiencing the pain of rejection, to be able to say, this is not God, that takes a real step of faith to do that. But here we see in the Word of God, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And again, this is kind of a frame of reference this morning. You know one thing for sure about that rejection, it's not coming from God. Sometimes on television stations, they'll air a program and they'll disclaimer and say, the views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this TV station. And that's kind of the disclaimer you got to be able to remember in your heart. The views expressed by brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or whoever so-and-so does not reflect the views and the opinions of your Heavenly Father. It doesn't. And again, when you're in pain, when you're hurt, I know that that's a step of faith to do that. But this is where it is important to go back to the Word of God and see it with our eyes again and say, wow, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. To be able to really trust and know that God, he is not bandwagoning anybody's rejection of you. Man's rejections are not God's rejections. It's interesting. He also lives to make intercession for us. It reminds me also of another thing Jesus experienced, Peter. Talk about experiencing rejection. This is Jesus, one of Jesus' closest disciples. And he told Peter, he said, yeah, tonight you're going to deny three times that you even know me. Imagine that. Jesus in the darkest hour, closest disciple. And the scripture says the third time Peter denied him, he denied him with cursing. And at that moment, Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter went away and wept bitterly. But I mean, Jesus experienced rejection from his closest disciples who he's training and mentoring. But it's interesting to see what Jesus prayed for him. He didn't even pray. He didn't say, Peter, I've prayed for you that you won't deny me. He didn't. He said, you will deny me. He said, I'm praying for you that after you've recovered yourself, that you're going to restore your brothers also. He actually prayed for his restoration so that Peter would know that Jesus was not, even though he rejected Jesus, that Jesus was not rejecting him. I mean, he blasphemed his faith. He blasphemed his Lord to his face. And Jesus went out ahead of his own Peter's blasphemy and prayed for his restoration. Have you gone too far? God just doesn't love you anyway? Nah, he's the Omega. Not just the Alpha, he's the Omega. He knew, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. There's no place that we're in that he didn't know would happen and that he doesn't ever live to make intercession for us right now. So I'm not rejected, even because sometimes that rejection, in your pain of human rejection, we can take it out on God. We can get mad at God. And then it's like checkmate. Oh man, I got people who don't like me, and now I got God mad at me. Now I'm stuck. I got nowhere to go spiritually. You do have somewhere to go spiritually. God loves you. There is always a place back. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He's not rejecting you. In fact, I love how Paul kind of summarized this concept. He said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, a lot of times the pain of rejection has a lot to do with the pain of separation and relationship. You can experience the pain of rejection, but you can also know that there's an agenda behind that rejection to try to separate you from other people, people talking about you, different things like that. And you can feel the pain and the frustration of how things that are said and done can affect other relationships and things like that. And you feel like you got to go into damage control and try to manage every little thing and try to get everybody to like you again and perfectionism again. And we see that whole paradigm just isn't in God's healing plan of rejection. He just says that, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, nobody, no created thing can ever separate you. Even though they might try to get in between you and somebody else, nobody can get in between you and God's love for you. Nobody can reject you. Nobody can instill anything that would in any way separate you from God's love. And this is why Jesus said something very profound. He said in Luke 14, 26, I don't have it up there, but if you look it up, Jesus said, unless you love me more than spouse and children, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and your own life also, I can't disciple you. Do you know why that is? When you love Jesus more than any other human relationship, you've always got a place to go when you experience rejection. When you put a human being above Jesus and that human being rejects you, you don't have any place to go. You're crushed. Again, we all still feel the pain of rejection. I mean, even if your priorities are right, you're still going to feel that pain of rejection. But when you keep Jesus first and you love him, you always have a place to go in your heart. You know, you always have a place to go no matter how bad you're hurting. There's a place to go. There is somebody who won't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. He is there. He's a safe place. Man's accusations are not God's accusations. No matter who said what, you can know one thing for sure. That's not God. That is not God rejecting you. He doesn't. Even when you fail him, okay? Even when you fail him, he doesn't reject you. As we saw with Peter, it didn't matter. Finally, last point I want to get to is God heals rejection. God heals rejection. But the way God heals rejection isn't, again, the way we naturally would tend to think of it. We might go into fix-it mode or damage control mode. God heals rejection in a completely different way in our lives. That really, many times, has nothing to do with the other person or who's doing the rejecting. God will heal us in a way that will, well, let's just take a quick look at a story here. This is one of my favorite gospel stories. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He'd become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, even if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today, for this man has showed himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Zacchaeus was a notorious tax collector. And again, if you know the history about the tax collectors in those days, they were fellow Jewish people who knew the personal wealth of their Jewish community, and they would report to Caesar to let them know who has what to tax accordingly. And they would just kind of be the tax collector, so they could tax you what they knew you were worth, that the Roman government maybe didn't know, and they can, you know, get a little extra too for themselves. And if you had a problem with it, you could take it up with the Roman army. And so they had tremendous leverage, their fellow Jewish countrymen. So they were despised. They were hated. He was rich for a reason, you know. And you know, a lot of, we can kind of read the story and say, oh, yeah, those guys, you know, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And, you know, they need to get over it, and it's not a big deal. But what if you were one of those people that Zacchaeus cheated? What if you were one of the people that was on the receiving end of that kind of stuff? That pain is real. That frustration is real. But Jesus really loved Zacchaeus, and he really restored him. And he accepted him. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to go to your house today. What is it? This is just a picture of acceptance. And we see in verse 6, Zacchaeus climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. He is feeling accepted. He is feeling loved. And there was something in that acceptance that caused Zacchaeus to just get his heart line and right with God. And at this point, when Zacchaeus declares that, when he says what he says, does that mean that everybody automatically loves Zacchaeus? No. But you know what? It didn't matter to Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus knew that Jesus loved him. And there was something about that that matters. You could think of the woman caught in the act of adultery, ready to stone her. He among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus goes, hey, where are your accusers? They're nowhere, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Wow. Does that mean that everybody in that community automatically loved that woman and accepted that woman? No. Jesus did. There was healing in Jesus' acceptance. Whether it's our failure, whether it's not our failure, whatever it is, there is a healing in that acceptance of the Lord. There's healing in His love for you. Have you ever been there? When you just decided, maybe you're just in that little devotional time, that little prayer time, and you just sense His love. You sense His presence. And all of a sudden, nothing else matters. All of a sudden, the rejection of man doesn't matter. There's just healing in knowing that He loves you. Healing in knowing that He is for you. 1 Peter 2 says it this way. Coming to Him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected, talking about Jesus, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I love that. Rejected by men, but chosen by God. And again, 30,000 foot, just kind of high level, principled thing, whatever your rejection is. I know one thing it is, that Jesus can empathize with it. He gets it. He knows that pain. He knows that frustration. It's not coming from Him. Man's rejection is not God's rejection. God isn't doing anything at all to provoke rejection. Who is He who condemns? It's God who justifies. He did everything that He did, not for your rejection, but for your justification, for your acceptance. You can know those things for sure. And then finally, there's healing. There's you're rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Once we're not a people, but are now the people of God. To realize that even though man rejects you, you are chosen, you are precious to God. And there's something about that. There's something about knowing that you're precious to God, knowing you're chosen. There is healing in that. You know, this morning, as we're just worshiping God, we're a chosen generation to show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You can get into a place where you're just proclaiming the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light and be healed of rejection. And it's an amazing thing how it happens. It's almost like if you kind of take a natural example, if you're working for a big company, a big corporate company, you know, and you've got a fellow employee who's maybe envy and critical of you, and just is trying to undermine you, and every little thing you do is critical of every little thing that you do. But then the CEO of the whole company comes down and puts his arm around and says, "I really love you. I appreciate you, man. You're the best at what you do. Go for it, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Awesome." Well, when you got the acceptance of the owner of the whole company, who's in your corner in spades and accolading you, you're not going to sweat the small stuff. And that's a divine perspective. Like I'm saying, I wish I could say emotionally things go away, but the Holy Spirit can give you that perspective. And in a moment of time, you can see it from that perspective and let go of it. And I'm not just saying this is emotional, let go, let God. No. I'm talking about a scriptural, actual truth. He loves you. He is for you. Who is he who condemns? It's not God who condemns. The CEO of the company is for you. The CEO of the company is with you. He is with you. Now, it's not to turn around and be critical of the other employee or to be critical, but to find your acceptance in him. And you know one thing for sure, he's never going to fire you. You're secure in that company. No matter who says what or who does what, that CEO has secured you. Well, it just helps you to be secure. It helps you to not take it so bad. But there's a security that we find in him. And the cool thing of it is, when this is my security is in him, then I don't have to have people to line up. If I need people to line up before I can be free from that rejection, then I'm in trouble. I have to become a controlling person. I have to make them line up so that I can be free. I have to be that way. But that's not the way it is. I can be free in God's love and God's acceptance for me apart from that. And there's something about it too. When you do that, and we see the scriptures, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, don't take vengeance. He'll anoint you with oil in the presence of your enemies. God has a way of vindicating you in a way that is better than any comeback you can come up with. And when you decide to be secure in his love for me, I know one thing, Lord, There's healing in that. There's healing in your acceptance. It heals me from that emotional damage. It heals me from that those emotional scars. They're healed in you. We're a royal priesthood called forth to proclaim the praises of Him who's called me out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our rejections, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so here we see again, a sympathetic high priest. He gets it, he gets us, and there's mercy and grace to help in time of need. Sometimes when I approach the throne of grace like that, and I know this is allegorical, you know, it's not a physical throne that we're going to in a physical way, but it's a place in our heart that we are going to for mercy and grace to help in time of need. This is the way I like to see it. There's mercy and grace. I like to see myself going to the throne of grace and extending my hands. And I see Jesus extending His hands. And one hand is mercy and the other hand is grace. And I hold on to those hands. And I say, thank you, Jesus. I receive mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. We were talking about this morning in the exhortation. There's a calling out to the Lord. Just calling out to the Lord. Yeah, there's real power in just calling out to the Lord, going before the throne of grace. That's not 15 steps or a bunch of layers. It's just calling out, and there's mercy and grace to help there, and there's healing there. It's so simple. And again, it's just what the Word says. There's mercy and grace to help. And this isn't, it's not even like a zap, and I never have any residual feelings or anything. I do. I still have to deal with it. I'm overcoming. But there's help there. There is strength. What? For healing for rejection. Because when you're at that throne of grace, you're seeing somebody who accepts you, who loves you, just where you are, just right where you're at. That's Jesus. That's part of His ministry to us today. That was His ministry to Peter. And He said, but I've prayed for you. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. That ministry of the throne of grace is there for us. There's healing there. In another place He says, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, and I will make everybody like you. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Rejection is a heavy burden. It's a heavy yoke. And He's just saying, come unto me and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a place in God that we can go, that we can find rest for our souls. We can find rest from that. We can find rest from that heavy yoke of rejection. There's just something about His acceptance that does that. And the cool thing of it is, too, a lot of times when you're dealing with rejection, you're dealing with the person, God in that place of acceptance will begin to show you how to deal with that person. He'll show you how to pray for that person, to pray, to bless, to do good. He'll begin to show you things in a way that will help you emotionally. Sometimes we think of those scriptures, man, bless those who curse me, do good to those who hate me. That just sounds like, is there anything more enabling than that? But we're talking about something in the Spirit. We're talking about healing in the Spirit here. We're talking about something where you're doing good. You're forcing yourself emotionally to think kindly, to act kindly towards somebody who's got you angry. That's why the Scripture says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Didn't say just say forgive, but be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. It's forcing you emotionally to invest in a person. It's forcing you emotionally to invest in that person, in that relationship, in a way that actually helps you get control of your own emotions. It's a very powerful thing. You got to understand with the spiritual ears, right? Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This isn't natural. You can take things from a natural standpoint, and it's foolishness. Spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. For the spiritual person, there's power in that. Father, not only do I receive mercy and grace for this sense of loneliness and pain and rejection, I receive it from you because you love me, you accept me, you are for me, you are not condemning me, you get me, you understand this, and this is not coming from you, but healing power is coming from you. And I forgive those who are rejecting me right now. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, they were wagging their heads. Who had come down from the cross? What did he say? What was his response? Father, forgive them. There's healing in that. The thing about rejection is Jesus experienced rejection. But Jesus was not a victim of rejection. In fact, rejection was a victim of Jesus because he always stayed on message. And you know, in we're talking about this dynamic, just get focused on Jesus. Keep your relationship with him. That's going to heal you. That's going to carry you through. That's what carried Jesus through. When he was on earth, he said, I say what I hear the Father say, and I do what I see the Father do. Jesus stayed connected to the Father in a way that got him past. To the point where he was so identified in his relationship with the Father, he said, if you reject me, you're rejecting the one who sent me. He sees that connected to where he didn't take it personal. I mean, he experienced it, took it personal. He experienced emotions of rejection. But he was so spiritually secure in his relationship with the Father that he could see that. He had that big picture. He knew how to handle rejection. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the one who sent me. You know. Now, there's different things. If I miss it, if I blow it, if I'm wrong to somebody, I need to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, that kind of a thing. I get that. But if you're being judged, you're being rejected, you're being, you know, something like that, you can realize, Lord, is my heart right? I mean, you can check your heart too. If there's things that you need to check in, Lord, if there's something I need to change, show me. But as long as I'm secure and I'm getting the thumbs up and I got the green light and the peace of God and somebody's still doing this, that's like the CEO with his arm around me and, you know, the person on, you know, fourth floor, you know, holding a grudge. Well, I'll pray for that person on the fourth floor, but I'm not going to get crushed by their opinion because I've got the CEO right there. And that's what it is. That's where there's healing for rejection. It's not trying to get the other person to line up. It's getting secure in the one who loves you, the one who's for you, the one who's with you. Because no matter, there's one thing nobody can ever do to you. They can never separate you from the CEO. They can never separate you from his love for you. He does. He loves you. He's for you. Again, what are we talking about? This is just kind of point of reference stuff. It's 30,000 foot level stuff. It's just things that we got to keep in mind as we're working through the weeds of rejection in our life. Different things that are absolutely true in all of our cases. And that is, Jesus gets it. On some level, he's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be rejected by people who know him, who don't know him, people who just don't like him and are out to just undermine everything that he said and done. Sometimes you can feel that way. You know, the Apostle Paul said, man, there's a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. You know, I got everything that I do, I'm getting, you know, getting attacked on every level. You can feel that sense. But I'll tell you what, no matter what it is, Jesus gets it. He understands it. You're not alone. You're not alone in that feeling of rejection. There is somebody who totally gets it. He's right there. And he understands it, okay? So don't have to feel isolated by that rejection. Frame of reference number one. Reference number two, man's rejections are not God's rejections. So don't ever let in your mind get it spiritualized that this is coming from God. It's not coming from God. The nitpicky stuff and all that kind of stuff, that is not God trying to checkmate you in any way. That he loves you, he's for you, and it is not, he's not rejecting you. All right? He isn't. He absolutely is there. He absolutely loves you. Not coming from God. And again, in that moment of rejection, in that pain of rejection, even if you have lashed out at God, if you pulled the Peter and you denied him with cursing, I'm talking figuratively. There's ways we can reject our faith and our walk with you. We can play hard to get with God, right? We can play hard to get with God the way you can play hard to get with people. You're hurt, you're frustrated, you don't understand things, so I'm not engaging in spiritual things because I'm mad and I'm mad at God indirectly. You know, I had that once where I'm just mad and frustrated and God just said, Ed, did I do anything wrong? I said, no, you know, but oh. So we can still talk? Yeah, we can still talk. I feel like talking, I feel like being mad, you know, but it isn't God. You know, he's right there. He still loves me, still for me. So that's not coming from God. It's not God's rejection. And then finally, God heals rejection. It's really that healing. It's how one relationship can heal another relationship. Your relationship with God can get you so secure in him to where you can, like Jesus, say, you know, Father, forgive him. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting he who sent me. So connected, so one with the Father, so keeping that gauge of peace with Him. As long as my heart's right with God and people are still being critical, I'm fine. I'm good. It's when I allow people's rejection to get me off track in my relationship with God, then the light that is in me is darkness. How great is that darkness? I don't know my bearings. I lose my bearings. That's why this is more of a bearings message, to realize these things are always true. You can always go back to that and know that, and that there is healing from God in His relationship and His love for you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You have given us some basic principles, basic points of reference that we can just go back to and just remember, reflect on in Your Word, and just realize that you're alive. You're a living Savior, Jesus. You weren't just raised from the dead, not just the evidence of Your resurrection, but the evidence that You ever live to make intercession right now for us, that You are actively involved in our lives. That mercy and grace flows from Your throne now in our time of need. That there is healing in that throne now in our time of need. You're alive, Jesus. You're alive in our life today. You're alive to bring healing and love and restoration today to those hurts, Father. Lord, we thank You in the name of Jesus right now for just the ministry of Your Spirit. Just go ahead and make this your declaration if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful You get me. You've walked a mile in my shoes. You know the pain of my rejection. You experienced it by people who knew You well and people who didn't know You at all. You felt that pain. I'm so thankful. I'm not alone. You're there. And Lord Jesus, I declare this morning, every rejection of man that I've experienced, it's not Your rejection of me. You are for me. You do justify. You're on my side. You're with me. You do not have a ministry of rejection, but reconciliation, restoration. I declare this morning, You are for me. You are a safe place. I come to that place now with my hands extended for mercy, for grace, to heal the rejection in my heart. Like Zacchaeus, I come down from my rejection tree. I invite You into my heart. I invite that acceptance in. And I'm free from the opinions of men, because I have the approval and the acceptance and the love of God. And I thank You for it now. Heal my heart. Make me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen.